Hello, hello, and welcome to School Leader Soundbites. I'm your host, Veronica Soper, and I have the opportunity to visit with you every week and talk about school communications and all the things that we do to make sure that we are engaging with our community and that our stakeholders know what's happening in our public schools. And today, we're going to talk about the ABCs. That is, don't do them. Don't ABC them to death. We're talking about translating EduSpeak because so many of us get really wrapped up in the jargon and we lose sight that the majority of the people we're communicating with don't understand what all those acronyms mean. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today, break it down, and I'm going to give you some suggestions on how to make sure you are connecting with your target audience. But before we do that, let's take care of some housekeeping. If you are listening on the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe. We don't want you to miss any episodes of School Leader Soundbites. And if you are watching on YouTube or Facebook, make sure you drop some comments. And if you have any great show ideas or topics you want me to discuss, go ahead and put them there and I'll be sure to circle back. So with that, let's dive right in to the ABCs of EduSpeak, because that's oftentimes what it feels like. So what we know is we are surrounded with topics that are important to families. We're always concerned about safety and security, about curriculum. Our taxpayers are concerned about budgets. Our staff are very mindful of the morale and the climate and culture that our leaders are so focused on. And all of those things oftentimes require us to move quickly. And when we start moving quickly and we start communicating very quickly, we lose sight of the fact that some of our target audience don't know what it is we're talking about because they don't live in the world we live in with the type of acronyms that we use. And I'll break it down for you here in just a second. But just know that when we use too many acronyms in a space where people aren't using them, it's a sign of us being able to quickly move through a message. But for the listener or for the person receiving our message, it may be a negative sentiment that we don't want them to have. So there was a recent study that showed that when people use too much jargon, oftentimes it's a sign of insecurity or it's a sign of them not having all of the facts. So they want to drop in these acronyms that distract the listener from what it is that we're trying to say. 9 times out of 10, that is absolutely not the case in public education. We're just moving really quickly and we have a lot of initiatives, a lot of mandates, things that are coming from the federal government, from the state government, from central office that we have to communicate with people. And so simplifying the way we communicate is often the best way for us to make sure we're getting as much done during the day as we need to. Unfortunately, that doesn't translate as well. So to avoid confusion, and to avoid our stakeholders feeling like they're not included in the conversation, we need to really think through when we are putting content out there about the acronyms that we're using. We want to make sure that we're using clear and effective communication. So, good example of that is when we are talking to people who don't have students in our system. They think that we're saying one thing and we're saying something else. And one of my last episodes, we talked about PD days. And in our world, professional development is a great assumption when we talk about PD, but that isn't always the case in every industry. So just remember that every industry has their own list of acronyms that they use in their everyday speak. And so in the education space, we need to be mindful of that. So let's talk about decoding the EduSpeak and how to do it. A couple of ones that we see all the time, IEPs, individualized education programs. Sometimes when you use that phrase, you want to partner it with a phrase that makes a little bit more sense, especially if that parent is not used to being in the special education community. So it's not language they would normally hear. So maybe instead of an IEP, it's okay to say it's an individualized education program, but maybe we can use language more like personalized learning plan. Or you can even give an example, such as a personalized learning plan. You can give them some frame of reference that gives them context that they can easily translate in their minds. Another one is SEL, social and emotional learning. And for in some communities, depending where you are in the country, this may be a really negative phrase or have some negative connotations to it. So for our clinical folks listening and for those of us in the mental health space, we have an operational definition of what SEL means. But in the political space, and sometimes at the state legislature even, this phrase is being used in a different way. one that doesn't quite reflect what it is we're doing. So in this case, you might want to say emotional skills development, or give some additional context to talk about what that means. Professional learning community is another one. We talk about PLCs all the time. In fact, we talk about PLCs when we do PD days. And so again, there's an opportunity for you to educate your community and share that professional learning communities are really a way for teachers to collaborate on teams. And so making sure that you give a different variation to the actual term, but always reference back to the acronym, especially if it's an acronym that your district uses pretty regularly. So you want to make sure that people are on the same page with you. RTI, response to intervention. Another way of saying something similar is targeted student support. Now, I'm not suggesting that you use these phrases instead of, I'm suggesting you use it with for additional context so that our listener can better understand what you're meaning. STEAM is another one. Generally, we know what STEAM and STEM are, but sometimes you have to spell it out and say science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. This is really an intricate way of teaching. It's a different approach to teaching. And so when you give it that little extra context, people then have a better understanding of what it is you're talking about. So when someone does want to reach out about a particular context, you might, or a question that they have about the context that you've been provided, and you might want to make sure they have a way to easily communicate with you. And this is probably a really good time to mention our podcast sponsor, K-12 Insight. They have phenomenal two-way communication tools. If you're not using them, I highly recommend that you look at the systems that they have in place, because when there is a topic or an issue that's happening in your district, using either their chatbot or their Let's Talk platform is a really great way to make it visible to your community that you are on top of this topic. So if SEL is an issue and you want to talk about social emotional learning in your community, all you have to do is put a button there, a Let's Talk button on your webpage, or you can even create a QR code, and you can even create some text lines that your community can engage with you on. So be sure to check out K-12 Insights products. I've used them in every district I've been in, and I highly recommend. So you can check them out at k12insight.com/SOPHER, just so they know you learned about them from the podcast. So let's get back to our conversation about using acronyms. Being clear and concise is key. So you want to make sure that you have a way for people to really dive deep into those topics. And oftentimes you can provide resources like a directory or a glossary for folks. And you can put that on your website. You can maybe once or twice a year drop that little nugget in a newsletter or in some district-wide communication that says, hey, if you want to learn more about how it is we do things in our district, be sure to check out our commonly used terms or our glossary of terms that we use in the district. I know we use those for our student code of conduct and some of the other publications that we put out, but oftentimes it's a great reminder to the general community that if they're looking for additional resources and additional context, they can find it on our website, but we got to drive them there. So if you have an opportunity to invest in a glossary, it can be a simple one. Put it out there so that people know that they can get straightforward language from you and make them feel more confident in what you're doing. Because the key is all about being transparent. So define the terms, give examples and where they might find them, and then also give them additional context, because I think it really goes a long way when you are educating your community on how you operate. That's how we earn trust. We're trying to remind people that we are transparent and that we do welcome engagement. And oftentimes you've got to teach them how to engage with you. And so making sure that we've got common language is one of the very first ways and most effective ways we can do it. Feedback loops are another great way of doing it. So make sure that you are providing feedback loops so that if someone does feel like they're not understanding the content that you're putting out there, that they can give you that feedback so that maybe you can go and develop an FAQ or some sort of frequently asked questions, right? See what I did there? You can develop an FAQ and make it available to people who really want to dive deeper into that topic area. So let me give you an example. We were working with some elementary parents, and we started talking about filling out the free and reduced lunch forms. And then we started having some conversations about CLEP tests and FAFSA forms and AP and all these different kinds of programs that our elementary parents weren't yet exposed to. So we were throwing out a bunch of acronyms that were really more common in the secondary vernacular for parents. And all of a sudden they got really overwhelmed. And I had a parent just raise her hand and say, "Can you please explain to me what all these letters mean? What's a FAFSA? What is that? What does that mean? How does that impact me? And why are you asking me to fill out a free or reduced lunch form that's going to impact AP waivers? What's that all about?" So that's when I realized there was a huge disconnect, because the target audience for those terms were our secondary parents, but we were having these conversations with our elementary parents. So that's when we took a step back and we laid it all out. We explained it all, but more importantly, we put together a one-page document for our elementary parents to help introduce them to terms and concepts that they would be using and learning once their students matriculated up into the secondary level. So make sure that you share all that information as much as possible. When you show an effort to really include parents, they're going to appreciate it. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention how important that is when we're dealing with communities of a different language. So if you've got a population of parents that are maybe Spanish speaking or Vietnamese speaking, or maybe French speaking, we need to make sure that the acronyms are not only translated, but the interpretation of them is also done. So don't just rely on Google. Make sure that you're using your in-district experts or maybe a third-party source to ensure that what you're trying to convey is being conveyed, because the acronyms can get lost in the translation. So as we wrap up this episode, I just want to remind you that strong community engagement starts with communicating clearly and accurately. And when we use a lot of acronyms, we dilute that communication. That's certainly not what we want to do. So make sure you provide context, you create operational definitions, but more importantly, you put in place processes that allow people to give you feedback when they're not understanding the context you're putting out there. So that's when a glossary or an index or some sort of document made available to the general public will really make a difference. So let's break down some of those barriers when we're talking about communicating really important information to parents. Let's break down those barriers for making sure people have access, and let's make sure that we're fostering the type of relationship we want to have with the community who wants to support us. So as we wrap up this episode, be sure to check out my website at veronicavsofer.com for other tips. I also have regular blogs if you're looking for additional context, because we want to make sure that we are communicating with clarity and with purpose. So with that, I'm going to wrap up this episode. Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss any episodes of School Leader Soundbites. Feel free to reach out to me. My contact information is below. And as always, you can catch me every week on your favorite podcast platform or on Facebook and YouTube. We'll catch you next time.